Certainly is a wonderful privilege to be here at Macedonia Church tonight. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. So thankful for the manifest presence of the Lord that we've already felt. My wife and my son both greatly desired to be here. My wife got sick and my son had to work, but they both sent their love and have wonderful memories here, the godly worship services they've been blessed to be at in the godly conversation, and they sent their love.
And
we do ask an interest in your prayers. Please pray for me and Brother Ricky. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'll begin in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Where the Apostle Paul would say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now the Apostle Paul begins here by heaping out some of the greatest language of praise and some of the greatest language of worship upon the Lord. Why is his heart so filled up with adoration and praise and blessing to the Lord? He's fixing to tell us. He said, "According as he," that is God the Father, "had chosen us," the elect, "in him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." Not that we were holy, not that we were without blame, but we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
It's one of the greatest questions that could be answered. Was it man's choice? Or was it God's choice? The Bible's pretty plain right here. But even if the scripture hadn't been this plain here, just knowing when the choice was made, you got to know who made the choice.
Right.
Now, recently, there's been a little bit of media exposure against the head of defense for the United States, because he was in the hospital for a little while, and whoever was making decisions at that time, you know it wasn't him. Because he wasn't there. So for somebody to make a decision, they had to be there. Well, the Bible's very plain, and there's a few verses. One place would say, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Another verse would say that we've been saved. Let me go to that verse there in Titus. I can't get the beginning of it. Or excuse me, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling," this is verse 9, "not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us when in Christ Jesus before the world began." So we got three different verses here saying there was a choice made before the world began. We know man didn't have anything to do with that choice because man wasn't there. We know the head of the Department of Defense was not making decisions when he was disabled in the hospital because he wasn't there. You know, there were a lot of decisions the Lord made. before the foundation of the world, he chose that the sky would be blue. He chose that the grass would be green. Now, men usually don't have a problem with those decisions. Nobody said, well, it's not right that God said that the sky would be blue. I would have made it another color. I don't hear anybody complaining about that. But you will hear men say, that's not fair that God chose a people and his son, but I ought to have that choice. And it really goes to this, at the grassroots of this whole thing. Is man sovereign or is God Almighty sovereign? And the Bible is very plain who made this choice. That God the Father chose a people, the elect family of God, in his Son. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And there was a covenant made that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and would suffer and bleed and die for that chosen people, that elect family of God, and every single one of them will be with him in heaven in immortal glory one sweet day. Amen. We sang a song a while ago, we're homeward bound. We're able to sing that song because God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what made it true when the angel would come to Joseph and say, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, election is taught many times in the Bible. Sometimes it's taught by using the word elect or a form of the word election. Sometimes it's taught by using a form of the word chose, like here, God chose us in Christ. But in other times, other words used, just like there in the angel when it said his people. Who's his people? It's the elect. What about in John chapter 10 when the Lord Jesus would say, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Every time the Lord Jesus talks about my sheep, he is teaching the doctrine of election. So we see that election might be taught way more than we would first give a glance at the scripture and simply look for the word elect. Sometimes, and people would distort, or a belief system would distort the doctrine of election and say, well, what election really means is God looked down through the annals of time and he saw some doing good and some doing evil, some that would accept Christ and some that would reject Christ. And based upon what God foresaw, he made a choice. Well, let's see what the scripture says about that. Because man can get in a lot of trouble with just our thoughts. You remember Christ asked the disciples one time, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, every answer that man had was wrong. And that's what we're going to get out of man, is usually wrong answers. But I'll tell you, what answer you get out of God and his word is always right. That's why we as old Baptists have an article of faith that say we believe that the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the revealed word of God and our only rule of faith and practice.
Yeah.
Now, why do we have that? Because man gets things wrong, but God Almighty always gets it right. So let's see what the Lord has to say about that in Psalms chapter 14. He said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good." The Lord looked down from heaven among the children of men. That's what that little belief system I was just describing said. The Lord looked down. And the Lord did look down. But he didn't see what they said he saw.
Right.
Some doing good, some doing evil. Some that would accept Christ, some that would reject Christ. What did the Lord see? The Lord looked down from heaven among the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did he see? They are all gone aside. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
Yeah, that's right.
Where we were reading there in Ephesians 1:3, again, it didn't say he chose us because we were holy. We were anything up, but we were guilty, depraved, bankrupt, ruined, sinners. But he chose us to make us holy.
Yeah.
And to make us without blame. Before him in love. Why did he choose us? Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 would say, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love."
Yeah.
"Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee."
Yeah.
That word drawn means drag. It's an irresistible force on a passive object. If we were to draw a bucket out of one of the old-timey wells, the bucket's not helping.
That's right. No.
But there's a force on the bucket that draws it up. The bucket's passive. The force drawing up the bucket's active. We were passive when the Lord born us again. God was active. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his life-giving voice and the Holy Spirit of God, gave us life. He did it because he loved us. With an everlasting love, a love that began before the foundation of the world. Before God Almighty ever said, "Let there be light," God loved his people. God loved you. You know, I've been a probation officer for over 30 years now, working in the probation system, and I've talked to many an offender that gets out of prison, and I'll ask them a question, because there's always a temptation for them to go back with their friends, quotes, their friends that got them in trouble. Their friends that were always hanging around them when they had a lot of drug money. And I'll ask them a question. I'll say, "Who came to see you when you were in prison for those 20 years? Almost without exception, I would get the same answer. They say, "Mama. Mama came."
Yep.
"None of your drug buddies came?" "No. Mama came." You see, Mama had been loving them a long time.
Yep.
Mama had likely loved them when they were still in her womb.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mama loved them.
Right.
Mama's love had been going on a long time, and Mama's love was wide. And Mama's love was deep. We loved our children before they were born. I remember singing to both of them when they were still in the womb, talking to them when they were still in the womb. But I'll tell you, before Daddy had a chance to love my children, before Mama had a chance to love my children, before you had a chance to love your children, God Almighty with an everlasting love.
Yes.
Loved them. And God has shown us His love in the covenant of grace. And because He loved us so much, He chose us in His only begotten Son before the foundation of the world. That the Lord Jesus would come and would suffer and bleed and die upon Calvary's tree and would save every single one. That God the Father chose in the Son without the loss of one. That's how great that love is. You know, sometimes that elect family would be using language like she used in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Yeah. Where the Lord Jesus would say, all that the Father giveth me, all that the Father gave me before the foundation of the world, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yeah.
He's talking about that irresistible call. That's not the gospel call that can be accepted or can be rejected. That can be believed or not believed. But this is the irresistible call when Jesus, with His life-giving voice, as He says in John 5, for the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus gives us life. And we'll always have that life. You know, the Lord Jesus would tell Martha, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of the Father, He'll give it thee. And Jesus says, Lazarus, thy brother shall rise again. She says, I know that He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, she believed in a resurrection at the last day. Wonder who taught her that. Maybe the Lord Jesus did. And that's a sweet doctrine. But He tells her, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. That tells me somebody that's believing in the Lord Jesus doesn't believe in order to become alive, but they're blessed to believe because they are already alive in Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. You may say, Brother Mark, Lazarus was dead when the Lord Jesus spake those words. His body had gone in the tomb. There's a part of Lazarus that never died. That soul and spirit that the Lord Jesus had given life and had born again in Lazarus immediately upon his last breath. He was with the Lord in heaven and among the glory. That part of Lazarus never died. And that part of you, little born again child of God, will never die. The world would think of election as a disdainful doctrine.
Yeah.
The world system doesn't like the doctrine of election.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, the doctrine of election is precious. Some people think, well, if it wasn't for election, there'd be more people in heaven. If it wasn't for the doctrine of election, there'd be no people in heaven.
Right.
Not one. And every single person that will be in heaven is because God loved the people. And God chose that people in the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, or we already read it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing we have is found in Christ. There's no spiritual blessing out of Christ. We see that frequently in the Bible, that term, in Christ. And where Christ goes, those that are in Christ go. I know of no earthly example of that that's better than a woman with child. When a woman has a baby inside of her, when she's carrying a child, where you go, the child goes. The mama goes to the grocery store, the child's in the grocery store. If the mama goes to church, that child is there in church. I'll tell you, little child of God, where Jesus went, we went. There's an old spiritual song that says, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" We were in Christ when he died upon the cross of Calvary. So the answer to that is yes, in a sense. We were in Christ. He represented us. He took my place on the cross. We were in him. Yes, we were there when they crucified my Lord. We were there when they laid him in the tomb. We were there when he ascended up into heaven in power and great glory. We were there when he rose from the dead. You know, the Lord Jesus had made a promise. He had told his disciples at least three times, they're going to take me, they're going to falsely accuse me, they're going to crucify me, but on the third day, I will rise again. He told them that at least three different times. It kind of went over their head. Makes me feel a little better when I read things in the Word of God. It kind of go over my head. Because I'm in good company with Peter and James and John and the other disciples. And you know, there were so many doing their best to try to ensure Jesus would not come out of that tomb. There was a stone that was laid across the tomb. The religious leaders had gone to Pilate and had said, "We heard that deceiver say," which they lied about that, "the Lord Jesus was truth incarnate. Everything he ever said was truth. Everything he ever thought was truth. Everything he ever did was truth." Jesus would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So they lied when they called him a deceiver. But they said that deceiver said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." And Jesus did say that. So they said, "Set a watch. Use all the power of the Roman government. Use all the power of the Roman military, the most powerful fighting force in the world at that time, to keep him in the tomb." Pilate sealed it with the royal insignia seal, sealing that tomb. But against all the power of men, all the power of man's government, against all the military power of the Roman army, stood against the words of Jesus Christ. And after 3 days, I will rise again. Yeah. And on the third day, the Lord Jesus came out of that grave in power and in great glory. And I'll tell you, when he came out of that grave in a representative way, we were in Christ. We came out with him. And because he lives, we shall live also. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, all that began before the foundation of the world. Yeah. That we were chosen in him. That God loved us even before God ever said, "Let there be light." Before he created the first mountain or the first valley or the first river or the first stream, God loved you. And he chose you in his son because of that love. And the Lord Jesus, he gave the most precious thing he had. So that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all the elect family of God, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because of that, we'll be with him one sweet day in heaven in immortal glory, like unto our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. That sweet truth helps us live every day. Because if he would give us his son, what would he not give us? If he wouldn't spare his son, will he not take care of us in February of 2024? I'll say he will. What a wondrous, gracious Lord we serve. Election's not an ugly doctrine. Election's the most beautiful doctrine that could ever be, of an everlasting love of our Lord for us. God bless you is my prayer.